come out to service, and this is the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and we were very blessed in a service that we had Wednesday night, special Thanksgiving service, and that's been a special time, and the Lord, I believe, was faithful to meet with us again last Wednesday night. Thanksgiving is something that is not reserved for an official holiday. Thanksgiving is something that the Lord taught us to do, and it's very important in our lives that we learn to give thanks. The burden the Lord had put on my heart to share is entitled A Simple Little Stone. I'm going to ask for your help through this message. I have a number of just verses of song that I would like you to sing in our time together this morning. Because the Lord, there is one song that says, surely the Lord has been good to me. And all of us have so much to thank the Lord for. So if you will, and I'm just going to go, like I said, this is going to help us keep together and see the words. But our hearts, I want us to open up our hearts to the Lord in thanksgiving. These songs are familiar to us. But think about what we're singing, and I trust it will be a blessing to you. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. But most of all, has the Lord blessed you this year? You look back over the year and, you know, there are people this morning that do not have a roof over their head. And there are people this morning that do not have a good place to sleep. That's why Project Christmas Blessing is Share the Warmth. There are children in Malawi that I have seen many of them sleeping out in the dirt with no blanket, no sheet, no protection from the cold, and in the mornings I'll see and hear them hacking coughs and snot running down their nose because of sickness, because they don't have a good place to sleep. There's food on my table. Has there been food on the table? I know for all of us, we go through times, maybe financially they're a little bit lean, but do you know, I don't think any of us are going hungry, because God has provided for us. And we want to be thankful. When we sit down to eat, you know, it's habit for us to pray for our food. But Lord, help us to break the habit of just saying it to say the words to get to the food. When we pray, it's Lord, we really are thankful, because it is God that provided that. Shoes on my feet. Oh, there are so many at the orphanage. This is just a continual issue of having to get shoes because of the rough terrain, and they wear the shoes out so quickly. You know, there are a lot of people that do not have shoes. There is one little orphan boy that came to the orphanage a few years ago. Little boy, his parents had died and he had been kicked out by the neighbors, and they found him sleeping in the ditch alongside the road, and he was brought to the orphanage. And we had sent funds to get the children's shoes, and that was the first pair of shoes that little boy had ever had. Lord, thank you for your blessings on me. You gave me your love, Lord. There's nothing more for us to thank God for. There's nothing greater than us to thank God for than His love. Family and friends, but thank you, Lord, this morning for your blessings on us. Everything else pales in comparison. I'm thankful for my home. I'm thankful for a place to sleep. But I am thankful most of all this morning for the presence of God. There are so many reasons why I love the Lord this morning. You Do you remember when the Lord saved you this morning? He placed a joy within my heart. He changed me completely. He gave me hope for tomorrow. And that's the reason why I love Him. Let's sing the chorus again. We have so much to be thankful for this morning. Most of all, and I remember someone years ago that used to often say, they said, thank God for Jesus. And that is what I thank God for this morning. I thank Him for Jesus Christ and for what He has done for us, for the provision that He has made for us and what He is doing every day. Jesus spoke to His disciples in John 14:27. And He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I thank God this morning for the peace that we can have in our spirits. There is a peace this morning that the world cannot give to us. The world can bring some fleshly pleasures. The world can bring some instantaneous gratifications. But at the end of the day, at the end of the week, at the end of the year, and ultimately at the end of life, what this world has to offer never brings soul peace. And it is because we were created in the image of God. And He gave us an eternal soul. And the only way that we can truly have peace in our spirit is when our eternal soul is in communion with our Maker. And that's what brings peace. When we are reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, when a soul finds salvation and the grace of Jesus Christ, he finds soul fulfillment. And I think so often of the story that's so familiar to all of us of the prodigal son, who he left home in pursuit of pleasure. He left home in pursuit of his own plans and his own purposes. He had big dreams of what he wanted to fulfill in his life. And he really left all of the things that could have been there to satisfy, but he got a warped vision in his mind. And he thought that it's out there. Young people, this morning I want you to know that what you will find in Jesus Christ will far outweigh anything that you can find out in the world. The prodigal son, he went out and he had a good time in the flesh for a while. But he eventually lost his friends. Do you know sin will oftentimes do that? People in sin, their lives are bound together by the pleasures of the flesh that they experience together. But when the pleasure's over, where are the friends? He had spent everything that he had. He wasted his life. He wasted it. He wasted the the enthusiasm of his youth for the things of the world. And at the end, he wasn't left with anything. But he found himself in the pig pen. And he came, it said when he came to himself. In other words, do you realize that when we go out in sin and give ourselves to the world, we lose. We lose our right thinking. People that have given themselves to the sin, they're not in the right minds. They're not in the right minds. You can hear the way they rationalize things. They're not talking straight. It's because they're out in sin. But when they come to themselves, when the Lord opens their minds up and help them realize where they're at, do you realize they're going to start thinking back to the Father's house? Don't give up hope this morning for your lost loved ones, because the Lord in His time is going to open up their understanding and help them to remember Father's house. The prodigal son remembered that, and he said, I will arise and go to my father. And how was the father waiting for him? With open arms. You see, if the father would have gone into the pig pen, the young man would have been resentful. People in sin are oftentimes resentful when you try to bring them back home. They resent it because I'm doing what I want to do. But when the Lord talks to their heart and changes their thinking and opens up their mind and they come back, we're there with open arms to receive them and to forgive them and to love them. And that's what the Father did for us. And that's the reason why, and I didn't know till a couple days ago, Sister Jeannie, trying to find this song, I couldn't find the verse that I wanted, and I found that this was the verse that you added to this song. But it's so true. The only real piece, it said, I searched and I searched the world over to fulfill my soul. And I came back from searching to find I was nowhere at all. But Lord, when I found you, I knew that my searching was through. For the only real peace that I found, dear Lord, is in you. Oh, thank the Lord. Yes, thank you, Lord. This is where real peace comes from. It's not out in the world. My peace I give to you. Don't we have something to be thankful for this morning? Thank God for His peace. Even through life's frustrations and through disappointments and through hurts, the peace of God is there to minister to our hurting hearts. His peace is there. There's a peace, the scripture says, that passeth all understanding. It doesn't even make sense. It doesn't even make sense. But it's because of a divine presence of Jesus Christ that enables us. You know, when the prodigal son came home and he found his father there with his arms open, that was a demonstration of the love of God that he has for us. In Romans, in the 5th chapter, in the 8th verse, it says, but God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. You know, there are some people that they have what I would term, not taking away from the message last Sunday, but I would term it dutiful love. Their love is out of duty. But do you know there's something that's so much better than dutiful love? Do you know the Lord loves us because He created us? And when we look, He looks on us like His children. Those that have had children that have misbehaved, maybe wayward children or whatever, and they do things that other people may just be ready to cast them off. There's something about a mother and father's love that goes beyond whatever egregious behaviors the children commit, because there's something deep inside that's part of me. That's part of me. I invested myself in their lives. You know, that's how the Lord feels when He looks on us this morning. While we were yet sinners, we didn't deserve it. We didn't do anything for the Lord to look down and say, yes, I'm so good that God loves me. God loves us because He created us. And while we were yet sinners and so undeserving, and it's a love that's consistent. It's a love that's not variable. It's a love that doesn't change. It's a love that is there when things are going good, or maybe when you're doing good, or when you're having a rough time. The love of God is consistent. I am so thankful for that kind of love this morning that I found in the Lord. It was a love that reaches our imperfections this morning. It's a love that reaches our deepest fears. It's a love that reaches our questions. It's a love that reaches down and gives understanding, but it's a love that reaches down in our problems, and it's a love that reaches down not to leave us where we were, but it's a love that is so great that He elevates us from where we are to a higher plane. The love of God. How rich and pure. Thank God for His love this morning. That reaches down, it's rich and pure, it's measureless and it's strong. And we, sometimes that we struggle so hard sometimes to be thankful. Lord, thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your peace. I thank the Lord this morning for the blood of Jesus Christ that He shed. There is a scripture that said, the blood of Jesus that cleanseth us from what? From all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus cleanses us. I am so thankful for the blood of Jesus this morning. And I was just, this morning as I was meditating on it and getting around, and I had to give a little shout for joy in the other room this morning. But I was thinking about the power that was in the blood of Jesus. And it's because of that blood that I'm here this morning. It's because of that blood that we are different creatures this morning. It wasn't because of some other religions that teach a religion of discipline that we abstain from this and we don't do that. I am what I am this morning because of the grace of God. I am what I am this morning is because the blood did for me what I could not do for myself. And I began to think about those that are lost, and I began to think about the scripture that talks about the works of unrighteousness. And it talks about the adulterer and the fornicator and the liar and the drunkard. And he said, but such were some of you. He said, but you are cleansed. In other words, the blood of Jesus can come in and work a miracle that the drunkard won't drink anymore, the liar won't lie anymore, the adulterer won't commit adultery anymore. And we look on and say, how is it possible for that to happen? It's all possible because of the blood of Jesus Christ that still today has not lost any of its power. This is the message of the gospel, that there is a power that supersedes your ability and my ability. And it is a divine power. I don't know how it works this morning. I can't explain to you what happens or what intricacies of it. But what I know is that when we ask Jesus to forgive us through the power of the blood of Jesus, it comes into our life and He washes us from all of our sin, thank God. The other day I was sitting in my chair and I looked down and I had a stain on my pants. I thought, what's the matter? And I looked down on the floor and there was hydraulic fluid from my office chair. And after so many years, it began to leak. And you know that stain, we can't get it out. And there are some things people can say, I've done so much wrong and I've caused such heartache behind me. There's no place of forgiveness. Oh, there is a place of forgiveness in the blood. There's a power in the blood that can get in to the stains that you think are impossible to remove, and it gets into our life and it does something divine. I thank God this morning that there is still power in the blood of Jesus. There is still power this morning in the blood of Jesus. Oh, thank God.
Working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Aren't you thankful there's power? Say, well, what do I have to be thankful for? There's still power in the blood of Jesus. And there is, in my mind, goes back to my personal experiences. I often think about Sister Jeannie's testimony about the time that just the blood of Jesus worked in her life. You know, it's worked for us that have opened up our heart times that still today, it wasn't just when I got saved. You know, the blood of Jesus not only cleansed me from my sin, the blood of Jesus has kept me from so much sin. But the blood of Jesus has been a reality working in my life, not just for sin, but when I needed strength and I needed help, and when I've struggled with my feelings and my emotions and struggle with hurts and struggle with personality issues, I found a source of strength in the blood of Jesus. This is reason why the saints of old, it spoke of their life of victory, and it said they overcame Him, speaking of the enemy. They overcame Him by what? By the blood of the Lamb. Folks, that's the first stop. Yes, there's the word of our testimony, and there's a place where our love, we love not our lives, in other words, our love and consecration is for God, but the first step of power is in the blood of Jesus. And it is not just for the sinner, the blood of Jesus is there for us today. If you're struggling in your mind, I still remember many, many years ago I was struggling with something. This is where I found a place of victory. That, Lord, I need Your blood. I was saved. I love the Lord, but Lord, I need something. And there is a blood that was applied. It's worked in my life physically so many times that, Lord, would You apply Your healing blood to my life? Oh, I'm so thankful that there is a source. There is a source of power, and I still claim the blood this morning. Oh, thank God for the blood this morning. You know, you can claim it this morning in the things you're struggling with. Attitudes, bitterness, unforgiveness, personality issues that just are overwhelming you spiritually. You can claim the blood of Jesus this morning. Personalize my sin, my sickness, and my pain. Even when we were dead in sin, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. It is through the power of the blood of Jesus that we are made alive this morning. Without the application of the blood, folks, we're dead. We can't experience the real joy that God intended for us in life. But when we come with our brokenness, when we come with our pain and bring ourselves to the Lord, He'll put us back together and He makes us alive. And not only does He make us alive, but I like to read out of Psalms in 107. Psalms 107, begin reading with verse 1. Said, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Then reading down into verse 4, it was speaking about the children of Israel when they left Babylon. Remember, the children of Israel had been in captivity in Babylon for many years. And then the Lord worked it and He set them free that they could head back to Jerusalem. It said they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way, and they found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men, for He satisfieth the longing soul, and He filleth the hungry soul with goodness. For those that are wandering, those that are hungry, and those that are thirsty, there is an experience in Jesus Christ this morning that we can find a place of satisfaction. That the Lord, when young people in Tessa's lesson this morning, and there was about the sometimes the struggles that people have in life looking for the future and the hope. The hope and the courage that God can give to us. Folks, the Lord will do that for us. He came to satisfy. If there's a yearning in your life, not just to the unsaved, but you know, when we're saved, there's sometimes we have needs. We have problems sometimes. But there's a God that loves us, that He can satisfy the yearning heart. And that's why Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest in the Greek means quietness. If you're struggling and inside there's turmoil, we have a Savior this morning that said, if you'll come to me, I'll satisfy you. I'll minister to the needs in your life. And this brings us to the title of the message. A Simple Little Stone. There was many years ago a man that got saved when he was 65 years old. He lived his life after the things of the world in pursuit of his own purposes and his own ways. And at age 65, he gave his heart to Jesus Christ. I believe it was in Jefferson, Oregon. And he came and he moved to Guthrie and lived in one of the little cabins in back of the old chapel. And he died, and he's buried in Summit View Cemetery, right outside of town, where many of the saints are buried. And out in that cemetery, there is a simple little stone. And on that stone is written, Jesus satisfied my soul. C. Weir. That was the brother's name. That says a lot. Jesus satisfied my soul. It was a simple little stone. And it is for that kind of experience that we can give thanks to our God this morning. For the blood, for His love, for salvation, for satisfying our soul when I was weak and when I was undone, and even after I was saved, and so many times I came to the place that I need something more than what I have, Lord, on hand. And the Lord comes in and ministers and satisfies. It satisfies my soul. Simple little stone, Jesus satisfied my soul. It's better than everything else that the world has to hold this morning. To be satisfied is to be complete, be filled up, not lacking anything. Are you satisfied this morning? If you're not satisfied, I have some good news for you. Jesus came to satisfy the longing soul. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 16, it says, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us." Now this is something else that God has given us. He's given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. When things look dark and you look around and it seems that maybe you might feel despair, Jesus came to give us hope for a brighter tomorrow. It is for this reason as well, when things may disappoint you in this life, we have something bright. We sing the song, Bright Anticipation. We have something to look forward to, because saints, there's a better day coming. There's a better day coming. But not only do I look to eternity, but I have found a couple years ago when I went through a time that things were so dark, it was hope through Jesus Christ. Just like His peace may not make sense to people, darkness doesn't make sense to some people either until you get there. Because it's something that you're not capable of fixing yourself. But I have found a hope that is steadfast this morning. I have found a hope, and it is hope that He's going to be in your tomorrow. You young people, you heard it in Sunday school, you're going to hear it again. God is going to be in your tomorrows. So be of good hope. I'm thankful for the hope that we have this morning. Yes, thank the Lord. Yes, thank God. That's something else to be thankful for this morning, is the Holy Spirit. Hope has brought us through the dangers. Yes, thank God. And we fear not those to come. By her blessings we'll go forward while our mortal life shall last. Then we'll joyously go home. We're not going home in defeat this morning, but we're going to go home joyously because of the hope in Jesus Christ. Yes, praise God. We have so much to be thankful for this morning, don't we? And so when people ask you, why do you love the Lord? I've got some reasons. I've got some reasons this morning why I love Him. Let's stand as we sing. Yes, thank the Lord. There's no stopping on that, is there? We could just go on and on and on, but this is why I love my Savior. So as we enter into our holiday of Thanksgiving, it ought to just be a continuation of what we live every day in the Lord. But we have reason to be thankful. And if you've been struggling with things in your life and trying to think of things, kind of hard to find something to be thankful for, we have lots of good reasons to be thankful this morning. I thank God for His love to us. This is why I love Him this morning.